content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, the July/August edition. And I know that we've made it to the month of August. So we're this particular Essence edition has Janet Jackson on the cover of it. And we've already covered her story in the month of July. But moving on to August, let's just pick up what we left off from, which from last month in July, which is Happy and We Know It. And we were going over some of the ways that, you know, when it comes to women or black women, even though our progress is slow in areas like equal pay and physical wellness, research shows black women consistently reporting satisfaction with their lives overall. So we're going to look at or continue to look at ways we find our joy and keep it. We can be single and satisfied. So sobering statistics about a shortage of marriageable black partners doesn't seem to faze us. We even defy expectations that the challenges of single parenthood will make us unhappy. So when Jade Griffin, age 27, a makeup artist and beauty consultant, ended a 3-year relationship 2 years ago, she left Atlanta and moved back in with her parents in the Dallas suburb of Roanoke, Texas. She decided to take a break from dating and focusing on developing her career as a licensed eyelash extension specialist and making friends with women in her new town. I want to have a partner, she says, but I'm meeting more people like me who are willing to stay single to wait for something I deserve. The support in her new sister circle keeps her busy and gives her a chance to get to know herself and what she wants in love and in life. How to get your joy on. Gratitude and exercise can have a similar effect on your brain as antidepressants. They boost levels of some neurotransmitters such as dopamine and serotonin. And exercise produces those feel-good hormones called endorphins. Studies show that women who exercise are more likely to feel better mentally as well as physically. So next time you're down or worried, cue up your favorite music and get moving. Or think, write, or speak about what you're grateful for. Sending a thank you email to a colleague or a friend boosts your happiness and theirs. And while you're at it, be sure to thank yourself for all the good you do. Make a great escape. In her book, The Pursuit of Happiness, Black Women, Dysphoric Dreams, and the Politics of Emotional Transnationalism, Williams follows members of a black women's travel group on their annual trip to Jamaica in search of intimacy, belonging, and freedom from American racism and sexism. She writes about why girlfriend getaways are political acts of self-care for us, cultivating spaces for black women to see and share stories with one another. Because of the ways racism and sexism greatly influence black women's lives in the United States, the decision to travel for their own enjoyment to create the communities they need and seek intimacy, love, and connection provides opportunities to push back against mainstream stereotypes of them as angry, prudish, or sad, she says. Pursuing happiness for black women is a political project. Mind your social media. The upside to a social media or to the social media is powerful benefits of connecting with folks and keeping up with ways to stay involved in your community. The downside is consuming too much of your friends' seemingly perfect lives. It's easy to assume that what people are sharing is an accurate reflection of their life, but actually it's the highlight reel. Bradford says, making unhealthy comparisons can cause you to feel unhappy and less satisfied with your own life. Some experts recommend social media fast, shutting off your feeds for a period of time. Apps like OffTime and Space help you track your usage and limit distractions from your devices. Meanwhile, reach out to friends for face-to-face or voice-to-voice connections instead. And we stand up and push back. Know that wave of recent events in which white folks called the police on black folks who were minding their own business in public spaces. Think golfing while black, napping in an Ivy League dorm while black, or vacationing while black, to name a few. Well, sisters are not having it. White people are more brazen about calling the cops on us, says Joy Harden Bradford, PhD, a psychologist in Atlanta and a founder of Therapy for Black Girls. It's done to intimidate, but when police are called, black people can end up dying in a rush to violence. Fortunately, social media helps us document and publicize the outrageousness, and some are pushing to have malicious reporters punished. So on to another article titled, it's an exclusive book excerpt, Eloquent Rage. From her new book, She Begat This, with the 20th anniversary of The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, feminist scholar Joan Morgan reveals how the iconic album almost didn't happen. So Lauryn Hill was 22 and at what people then thought was the height of her career. Very few thought the move could be anything more than burdensome. Look at your career, they said. Lauryn, baby, use your head. Instead, I chose my heart. Instead, it became to Zion, an anthem for motherhood and choice, and one of the most powerful songs. Initially, not everyone was moved, including her label. Hill took to Zion and a few other songs from the album to be to a meeting with Columbia's brass. Tommy Mottola, then head of Sony Music and Entertainment, pronounced it dead on arrival. Mottola was anxious to replicate the Fugees' success and thought this new melange of soul, reggae, and relatively little hip-hop from one of rap's best MCs was too much of a departure from a proven formula. They weren't feeling it at all, says Jason Jackson, a longtime member of Hill's management team. Basically, they wanted a Fugees record without the guys. Tommy told her that it was a smoky little ditty, but it wasn't her. Go back and try again. So go back and try again is what he said. She came out of the meeting crying. The record was so personal to her. His reaction crushed her. Hill was hurt, but she wasn't defeated. No one on her team thought that the album, as she conceived it, was dead. But they agreed that the label's reaction definitely had it lingering in the intensive care unit. I mean, looking back, I can see Tommy's point. Jackson concedes with the benefit of hindsight. The Fugees were the biggest selling rap group at the time, and it makes sense that they would want to do it again. But at the time, that's not how I saw it. Back then, I was like, him. We don't need them. This is what we're going to do. Jackson and the team's inside player, Suzette Williams, who was both an executive at the label and part of Hill's management team, devised a resuscitation plan. Taking Matala's advice, they decided to try something else. But the strategy was hardly what he could have wanted. In an act of sheer hip-hop hustle and ingenuity, they took the hardest and most signature L Boogie rap track on the album and hand-delivered Lost Ones to Rough House Records co-founder Chris Schwartz. He did his bit for history and agreed to press a limited number on a 12-inch vinyl so they could distribute to mix shows and club DJs. It was a brilliant move in a genre where the battle record is a revered staple. This one brought the fire. Beautiful and Bellicose, Lost Ones, not only showcased the best of Lauren's skills as an MC, but it was so purely hip-hop it appealed directly to her original fan base, letting them know she hadn't abdicated the temple of their familiar. It was also froggy, peppered with rude Gile-isms and a reggae assist from Sister Nancy's classic Bam Bam. Hill ironically had achieved Wyclef Jean's original mission, the one he'd wanted to accomplish with the Fugees, Killing Me Softly. Lost Ones killed the sound war dead. Be it on the radio or in the club, there wasn't a DJ worth her salt who didn't include Lost Ones somewhere in her set. DJ Belinda Becker remembers that summer well. As a DJ, you just knew that at the height of the night when the hip hop was pumping, Lost Ones was the one to slam on. The minute that first beat dropped, the crowd would just go crazy. Everybody knew the lyrics. It's just a dance floor mover. Always, 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 says Becker. I think Lauren knew that in addition to the singing, she had to be able to go hard, she continues, especially at that time, because as a female MC, you weren't just up against female MCs, you were also up against like Mobb Deep. It also addressed long-standing curiosities regarding the real status of Clef and Lauren's relationship, essentially. Says Jackson, it was everything the streets wanted to hear. Even today, it's still in the top 100 of greatest songs for a DJ to play when you're losing the crowd, says Jackson. It's one of those songs that the crowd knows within the first 3 seconds, even if they aren't music heads, that initial boom, bop, 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 that's it. Then she had the nerve to pause and hit it again. Boom, bop, 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 boom, bop. Then she layers on that bass. From the very first line, you just know it's going down. It was the 1990s equivalent of a viral sensation. Lost Ones was not only the fire that spread everywhere, it created the demand for more. Officially, the phoenix rising from the ashes, Lost Ones, had won the war by forcing Columbia's hand. Miss Education was released shortly after in July 1998 to record breaking success which exceeded even the Fugees. In the terms of hip-hop, line for line, verse for verse, Lost Ones is a top 25 classic and will be forever, says Scott Free, former A&R executive at Loud Records, in part because it provided the perfect vehicle for catharsis and, we'll just say, hip-hop fashion. It was the kind of track you listened to when your baser nature wanted to, you fill in the blank, someone up, but your saner self would rather not risk jail. Music, particularly hip hop, for me is a way for me not to indulge in the responses, explains Free. Rather than punch you in your face, I can go sit down, listen to a record, and get just as much of the release. Lost Ones, he concludes, is a mood record. You listen to it when you're mad at that someone's not keeping it 100. It's a character check. Battle records are common in hip-hop, but what was also unique about Lost Ones was the quality of Hill's range. Its source of inspiration might have been a broken heart, but it was wholly unlike the gendered expressions traditionally assigned to female artists, especially in soul and R&B. It was completely sans tears or pleading. On the contrary, it was an exercise in precision. Hill's delivery was calm, measured, and focused on her target. With each hyper-controlled lyric, she took her power back. Free agrees she's not happy in Lost Ones, but she's also not crying. She's not moaning and she's not whining. You're basically getting her anger, and with it a rare opportunity for the cathartic release hip hop is known for, but one usually associated with testosterone. testosterone. For female hip-hop fans, especially those with more bellicose tendencies, it was a win made even more delicious by the fact that it had sampled another female artist. DJ Lene Denise is still odd. I mean, you go into the crates, pull out Sister Nancy, rearrange it to get a very specifically sped up version and produce that. This was not a game. This was a call to action. This was Lauren's machete rhyme. She's telling you that she will cut you. The fact that it was easy to dance to was also unique because it allowed the catharsis to be not just mental but physical. It's a moment we've yet to see replicated by a female rapper, even 20 years later. Although the movement has its pop culture equivalent, it's the moment in Waiting to Exhale when Angela Bassett sets her husband's clothes on fire and walks away from the burning home, Denise says, laughing. Or that moment in Hold Up when Beyonce is smashing windows or windshields with baseball bats, smiling just as pretty as she pleases. All kudos to either Remy Ma's lyrical massacre of Nicki Minaj for being one of the best lyrical battle moments of the 21st century. However, the track wasn't meant to be danceable. Lost Ones offered the whole package, or as crunk feminist scholar Brittany Cooper would say, it was a black girl's most eloquent rave. On to love and life. How to get happy. The journey begins within. Psychologist and Essence.com columnist Dr. Sherry Blake helps you to sidestep common stressors to achieve more joyful living. So happiness can sometimes feel like a far-fetched goal, especially for black women in America. Day after day, there are forces both seen and unseen that surround us and fight to steal our joy. Life comes at us hard and fast. We awaken to heartbreaking headlines about our unarmed sons, brothers, and fathers being gunned down. The current political climate in America, fueled by blatant racism and privilege, leaves us keenly aware of how dangerous it can be for our families and our future. As if that weren't enough to plague the mind, we must keep up with the daily grind of adulting. Urgent emails wait to greet us in the mornings and compete for our attention as we send our children off to school. Meetings gridlock our calendars. We can't seem to take a rain check on the drama in our personal lives, and we spend our spare time scrolling through never-ending social media feeds filled with photos of moments and opportunities that we feel we're missing out on. Soon, self-doubt sets in. But try as they might, these external factors have nothing on our power to manifest and claim our own contentment. It starts when we look within. A lot of times we look to external material things or people to make us happy. But happiness is no one else's responsibility but our own, says Atlanta-based clinical psychologist Sherry Blake, PhD, a.k.a. Dr. Sherry. You take ownership of your happiness when you first learn to recognize that you're feeling unhappy and acknowledge that this means you have some work to do, she says. When we spot a red flag like waking up feeling helpless or finding yourself uninterested in things that usually make you happy, Blake warns we must stop and face the hurdles in the way of our better well-being. As black women, we must learn to recognize when we're crossed or when we've crossed that thin line between being pillars of strength for our families and taking on more than we can bear. The goal is to minimize stress, not completely remove it. You'll never eliminate all the stress in your life, says Blake. The key to happiness is to learn to manage life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, and the unknown. Happiness is a part of joy, Blake continues, and if you can't find joy in little things, it will be very hard to find it overall. When you cannot find joy or even a small sense of happiness, then something is more seriously wrong. making time to see a therapist can also be a powerful tool, she says. At some point, you may have to say, this is more than just something I can handle. This is something I really need to work out, and I may need support. Even before you make the move, you can take small steps toward improving your situation. Here, Blake breaks down three of the most common sources of sorrow: your career, your family situation, and your relationships, and suggests ways to take back your power and joy. So if your job is making you unhappy, identify the problem. So sometimes we dislike parts of our career, but there are parts we thoroughly enjoy. Ask yourself, what is it about this job that's making me unhappy or that I don't like? Once you identify it, figure out how you can minimize that issue. And then you want to unplug when you need to. Take short breaks more frequently throughout the workday if you can. You don't have to leave the building. Just do something to detach and walk away from what's going on at the moment. Breathe. Listen to music in your headphones. Learn to do muscle relaxation exercises at your desk or work area. Practice visualizing what you want to feel and take yourself to your zen place. Then you can also talk about it. So if there's a colleague or manager who brings you down, first separate your issues from theirs. Ask yourself, is this my problem or the boss's? An easy way to determine the source is to think about whether you are getting the same feedback from different people in different settings. If so, it is likely your issue, not your boss's. Everyone cannot be wrong. If your boss is the cause of your discontent, consider having an honest conversation with him. If you feel as if you can talk to him, do. But avoid placing blame or pointing fingers. Instead, only take responsibility for your feelings. If you can find a resolution, that's great. If not, reduce your interaction with that person, or it may be time to look for another job. And then plan your exit. If you decide you need to quit, be smart about it. Sometimes people get upset and just leave, but they don't do it with an exit strategy. Here's yours. Secure another job before you leave the one you have. Check to see if you have sick or vacation time that can be cashed out. And then also make sure that you have positive recommendations from a colleague or supervisor. Also, be sure you have a copy of your performance evaluations before you walk through the door. And then if your family situation is making you unhappy, you can unhook yourself. Not everyone deserves a spot in your inner circle. That includes relatives. If loved ones are bringing drama, distance yourself from them. Yes, you see them, but you don't have to get caught up in whatever they're doing that makes you uneasy. Understand that their issues are about them. Don't be afraid to press unfollow. You don't have to respond to everything a family member says or does that upsets you. Often we think we do, but it's possible to simply ignore the upsetting behavior. Block or unfollow them on social media if it helps. Otherwise, their actions could continue to throw your mood off course. Maintain control. So when you tell someone she's stressing you out, it gives her more power. What you're really saying is, I can't control my stress and this is your fault. Then she determines when you're going to be aggravated and when you're not. Take back the power. And then finally, know when to let go. So, of course, we don't want to cut our family members loose. We love them. But sharing blood is not a license to be demeaned. When they seem to be coming for you, take a step back and give them space. It's a way to self-soothe and survive. Your satisfaction is non-negotiable. And then if your relationship is making you unhappy, first thing that you can do is be honest about what you need. So much of the journey to happiness is about self-discovery. With a person you love, you have to ask yourself important questions. Why am I here? Why do I really love this person? Is this love? Or is this my neediness? First, determine what you are getting out of the relationship. It may be security, financial support, sexual satisfaction, or a combination of factors. You can love a person in addition to receiving their secondary things. You can also find ways to support your needs in ways that make you feel empowered. Also, you can focus on what's healthy. So if the relationship is no longer healthy, it's no longer a place for you. You have to decide if you're going to save yourself and continue on your journey toward happiness. Will you allow yourself to be detoured by whatever your partner is doing that makes you sad? If so, you risk losing sight of where you are and where you ultimately want to be. Be truthful with your feelings without guilt. What's good for you won't always be good for others. And then finally, you can talk it out. So many times the person we love may be doing things that hurt us and may not be aware of the impact. You have to be able to share your feelings. Also give the other person an open-ended opportunity to express how he feels. You can start by saying, I really love you and want our relationship to work, and I want to hear from you. Then listen to what he has to say. Suggest working together rather than assigning blame. Say, if you're sure that you want this as much as I do, let's see how we can make this work better for both of us. And then you move into counseling together. So those were good. That was some good advice from Ask Dr. Sherry. So let's move on to another article. And I'm going to try to make this article quick since it looks like that we're almost out of time. Okay, here's one, a good one. For the love of you. So the greatest relationship we will have is the one we have with our own self. We should settle into the skin we've been given and always put us first. This year, Essence is kicking off a self-care challenge to ensure that you are taking care of yourself. So self-care is prioritizing attention you deserve. So here's a roundup of habits that help you manage, such as your self-care. This is your self-care checklist, such as I have a system for tending to my household that includes paying bills, cleaning and decluttering and purchasing groceries and other items I need. I have a regular routine for how I start and end my day. It's designed for my optimal energy and peace. I regularly spend time with the people I love the most. I am friends with at least two people in my neighborhood who I can call on in an emergency. I cook for myself and eat regular meals. I sleep at least 7 hours most nights. I routinely see my doctor and dentist. I have a space I'm excited to come home to. I do a monthly activity that brings me joy. I have a routine for pampering my body. I have taken a real vacation in the past year. I am on time for appointments. So your checklist should give you a snapshot of what's working and what areas may need a little TLC. So to make space for new habits, you have to let go of old ones. And I'm going to stop right there because it looks like that we've run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.